Turn with me to Psalm 98. Let's pray together. Father, as we call upon you this evening, Lord, have mercy. Lord, help us. I pray, speak through your word. For Christ's sake, amen. Psalm 98, verse 1 says this, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God." I've got a set of notes sitting in front of me, and I may preach them Sunday. I may preach this set of notes right here. That set of notes right there. I may preach it Sunday. But I feel greatly impressed, and I'm scared to death, but I feel greatly impressed to just share with you this evening what great things the Lord has done for me. I'm going to share with you how I got here. How I got to this pulpit right here. I was attending a Southern Baptist church in Pineville, Louisiana. And this was probably in the mid, maybe 75, 76. And the pastor of that church was a free will preacher. And we were going to have a revival. We always had revivals, you know. You had a revival every year, at least one. And he invited a man, and I don't even know if this guy is even still living. His name was R.F. Gates. I can remember that. And he was a preacher out of Shreveport, Louisiana. And the pastor invited him to come and preach. And he came 5 nights, and he preached each night, on one of the doctrines of 5 points of Calvinism. And that message intrigued me. I just absolutely was intrigued. There was another fella or two that was kind of in that same boat, I guess, and I was just, it was different. I'd never heard that before. That wasn't the time the Lord was pleased to call me out of darkness. I can look back now and see that. It was just different, Frank. I'd never heard that before. And over that period of that week, I just absolutely kept wanting to talk about it. It was just different. It was different. And it made a lot of people really, really mad. And I remember in time, I was invited to come to this other little church down in South Central Louisiana. It was a Southern Baptist church, Free Will Church, that's all it was. And I kept the whole time I was there, I'd think about that. Those doctrines, you know, those 5 points. And I can remember, I saw them. I could see that in Scripture. But still, I had no heart for it. It wasn't, I mean, I wasn't going to split a church over it. But it was different. And my mother invited me one time while I was pastoring there to come over and hear a preacher that was visiting there in Kitchens Creek, there in Central Louisiana, where Darvin Pruitt was, and Milton Howard's there now, and it was Henry. Now this has been a few years now. It's gone by, and I've gone back and forth, and I look at it just. There was things that just perplexed me about it. And all during this time, there were some that would, you know, come and go and leave and didn't want to talk about it and, you know, got mad about it. And we had friends. We had dear friends. Remember Ed and Vivian Whittle? I mean, we had dear friends that just, I mean, we cut off eventually, even talking about it. But in time, I went and I heard Brother Henry, and it just, the message was just alive, and there was some period somewhere right in there the Lord began to deal with me, and it was more than just a different doctrine. It was now alive. It was real. This was truth, and it was solid, and it was consistent with Scripture, and it was that message that honored the Lord and just. And I knew. The Lord revealed Himself to me during that time. And I wanted to have Brother Henry come and preach. And that my former pastor, I was talking to him about it one day. And I brought it up. I want to talk to him. I want to talk about Ephesians 1 and 2 Thessalonians 2 and I wanted to talk about these precious, precious doctrines of grace and the truth of Christ. And he made this statement to me. I'll never forget this. He said, Marvin, he said, if you don't leave that alone, he said, you're going to open up a can of worms that you'll never be able to close. And he was right, Carl. He was right. Yeah, he was right. So I invited Brother Henry to come. And he came five nights, just like R.F. Gates did. But there was a difference in that message. That message, when he preached, the Spirit of God bore witness to my heart. This is the truth. This is the truth. And God Almighty just solidified to me the reality of my need of Christ, and that He's all and in all, and He's altogether lovely, and He's just, it wasn't just going to church anymore, you know, going through the motions. It was real. And as I began to look at the Scriptures, it wasn't very long after that that I heard about a meeting that they wanted to have. We had one. And I'm telling you, it came to a head real quick and real, I mean, hot and heated and everything. To the point that I told them, I said, I've got to go. I've got to go. This is all I want to do. I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave. I'm going to take my wife, my kids. I'm leaving. But before I leave, I'm going to make this statement. If there's anybody here that disagrees with what I'm about to say, that's what I told them that night. I said, you better tell me right now. I said, I'm leaving because you will not receive the love of the truth. Everything I've said is in these Scriptures. And it's real. And nobody opposed me. And I left. Left that church. And it's still there. No truth. I went back and moved to Franklin after that, and began to meet these different men. And all the time I met some that were there, and some left, and some stayed. And it was by the grace of God that Almighty God kept me during that time and taught me. And I sat and I listened, and the truth of God's sovereign grace was made more and more real to me. That growing and learning, and how I needed to grow, how I needed to learn, and I needed to hear. And in time, I began to pastor a little church there in Franklin. And the Lord was pleased to bless it. And people were taught. We were all taught. And I stayed there in that place for 10 years. And providence of God would have it, I wife passed away, and 1 year later, she passed away November 25th, 2000. And 1 year later, I was here. 1 year later, for Butch's funeral. 1 year later. And Brother Scott sat right here, and he said, why don't you come take this pulpit? And I thought to myself, that's the most far-fetched thing I was scared to death of him. And had so much respect for him, and I had a lump in my throat just telling him that I couldn't do it, you know. I said, Brother Scott, I appreciate that so very much. I said, there's no possible way that I'd ever have you sitting in that pulpit right on that pew right there and me preaching. Not me. Somebody else maybe, but not me. And in process of time, my paths crossed with Linda, and then a group of you men, you know, it was Glenn, different ones, there's some of them that was here. And I met with them in the fellowship hall, and they talked to me about it one time. Never brought it up again. Never called me nothing. And during that period of time, Glenda and I was married and moved to Franklin, and people would ask me, you know, because they knew I'd talk to the men here, and I asked me, said, well, what do you think? I said, I don't think anything. I don't think one thing. I don't want to go, and I don't want to not go. I don't have any inclination whatsoever. And about 4 months, I think, 4 months passed. And I mean, it came to a point to where I was, I began to think about here, about being here. And I told Glenda, I said, I'm going to call Scott. And she said, well, I'll tell you what, you call him if you want to. But she said, don't ask me my opinion. Because she said, I don't have anything to do with this. She said, what if you tell me? She said, that's what we'll do. But don't ask me what I want to do. I said, fair enough. So I called Scott. And I said, Brother Scott, I said, I need to know something. I said, I want to know, what do you think about me coming here? And he said, well, I only have one question for you. He said, what do you believe the Lord wants you to do? And I said, I believe I'm supposed to go to Katy. He said, that's all I wanted to know. I said, you okay with that? And he said, oh, absolutely. He said, if that's what the Lord wants you to do, he said, that's what I want too. I said, okay. So I called Henry. I said, Brother Henry, I said, I just wanted to call you. I said, talk to you about me going to Katy. He said, hold on. He said, I only have one question for you. I said, okay. He said, did you talk to Scott? I said, yes, sir, I did. He said, what'd Scott say? I told him. He said, I don't have any other questions for you. And I said, okay. Well, I called a lady down the street. And I said, Jody, I said, I have a house here. And I said, I think I'm going to move to West Virginia. I said, I'd want to know if you'd help me sell my house. And 48 hours later, we sold it. And closing was, I mean, just right now. And we moved here, and today is July the 20th, and 13 years ago today, July the 20th, 2003, I preached my first message here as pastor. I've been here 13 years today, and I looked at this scripture right here. Psalm 98. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. For he hath done marvelous things. Let me tell you how I got here. His right hand and his holy arm, his power according to his holiness, had gotten him the victory. There were people that I knew back from the beginning that I think were just as ignorantly intrigued with what I heard. They heard it the same time I heard it. And I can tell you that there's some that heard it when I heard it, and they're not here anymore. There's a lot of people that I cross paths with when I was coming up, and you have too. And they're not here anymore. They may still be alive, but they're not here. The Lord hath made known His salvation. And all of God's people, all of God's elect, are going to be taught of God. His righteousness hath He openly showed in the sight of the heathen. Now let me tell you who I am. And you too. I don't believe there's any Jewish by descent, Jewish nationalist, national Jews here. This is us. We're the Gentiles. He's made known, openly showed in the sight of the heathen, Gentiles, out of every nation and kindred and tribe and tongue, God's got a people. And He's going to have them. The Lord Jesus Christ said, He said, "Other sheep I have." He was talking to some Jews, His apostles. He said, "They're not of this fold. And I'm going to call them. And they're going to come. And I'm going to keep them." And through all of the cloud and the confusion and the accusations and the threats of me, you're going to do something, you're going to ruin this, that's a hated, despised doctrine. But that's not what the Lord taught me. The Lord has made known His salvation. And I know this, salvation is of the Lord. And He hath remembered His mercy and His truth toward the house of Israel. And all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Everyone that the Lord has everlastingly loved, in time He calls. And He keeps. And He settles. And He settles. And He settles. I was sitting here tonight when Gary was leading that last song. And my heart was just racing because I'm thinking, I could just read my set of notes, Mark. And I got a set of notes. That'd be the simplest thing. I got a set of notes. But I'm here tonight by the grace of God. And the Lord hath done marvelous things. That He would set His affection on anybody and give anybody a heart for Him and call them out of darkness. Somebody said, when did He call you out of darkness? When it pleased Him. I kind of remember sort of when during that time. But I'm telling you, I know this. There was a point when I went from darkness to light, but I couldn't put my finger on it. I'll be honest with you. But I can look back now. And I can think back on how the Lord kept me and put me in this pulpit. And has kept me by His mercy and grace and compassion and everything along the way. Everything that happened, everything that transpired was all according to His good pleasure and His will, and every bit of it, even though I don't see it all, worked together for good. Them that love God, them who are the called according to His purpose. Well, I'm going to tell you right now that I thank God that we're here tonight. I thank God that he was pleased to keep me when so many left, and left because they wanted to. I know that. But Almighty God, who would not leave me to myself and brought me to this place, I've got a good hope. By the grace of God, he'll keep me to the end and not forsake me and not leave me. I pray that for you. I pray that for your kids and your grandkids. I pray God have mercy on us. I pray that this little word of testimony has been honoring to him. I pray that the Lord be lifted up and praised for that which he's been pleased to do. I've got a set of notes. I may preach them on Sunday. But tonight I just couldn't. Brother Gary, why don't you come up and lead us in a closing hymn?